Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, I hope you enjoyed last week's show. We did. And I think a few people did because they've written a few letters, there's a few emails, there's a few comments on Twitter, and we'll go through those. After I've said hello to everyone, join us for the first time on the Mac Show, but you know him from the Big Show if you've been there before. Terry Barrett, how you doing, man?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
All right, not seeing you for a while.
I know. It would be the whole house moving ordeal. Anybody who's a contractor should not move house or buy a house. That's my advice.
Why? What's being a contractor got to do with it?
It just probably because I'm on
you're on a shit connection then, obviously.
So my money isn't coming in.
Are you on Wi-Fi?
No, it's
wired.
I might just be. I can fix that
because it's stuttering all over the place. You got a few minutes? We'll go on to Adam. Hello, Adam. How you doing, mate?
Hey, I bought a house as a contractor, so I know where he's at.
Yeah,
it can be stressful.
I was worried there because, contractor in America means that you walk around with a utility belt and you hammer nails into wood, doesn't it? Not.
Well, you're self-employed, I guess. That may be the better way to put it. So you don't have necessarily a steady income all the time. You got to kind of do some planning.
I think people.
I understand where he's coming from.
I think people.
It adds a little stress.
People think we weren't friends after last week.
Oh no. We're absolutely friends. We're always friends.
We're fine, mate. We're fine. No worries at all. Have you had a good week?
So far, so good, yeah.
Has the Apple FBI thing consumed your life?
It consumed my life in terms of prepping the latest MacCast because I wanted to make sure I focused on all the facts and just got all the facts and information right from both sides. You know, there's a lot going on both sides, and some parts are right, and I'm sure we're going to get into that, and some parts are wrong on both sides of the equation, I think. So it's a dicey issue, and it's not going to be solved in a week or even months.
No, absolutely.
It's going to take years.
We are going to talk about it, but it's not going to dominate the entire proceeding today, because there is other matters.
I think that's a good idea.
So we'll leave it till the end, and then we can just
Time to move on.
Just run into the Big Show instead. and last but by no means least, Doc, I got your parcel right, and it's in customs, and they charge me for it, the git. So I pay the charge yesterday, and they deliver it when no one's in today. So I've got to go and pick it up. It's at the local post office.
Have you paid a charge? They don't just hand it to you?
No, I paid the charge so that they deliver it. I paid it online. There's a massive thing called the internet now. And they paid it I paid it online, and it said, we'll deliver next day. And when they did deliver it, there was no one in. So the bottles are not here, mate. I'll have to do an unveiling. I don't know if we can not open them till next week, though. That's anything. Unbox it on next week's show.
Absolutely horrible.
What you been up to, man?
Nothing, chilling. I'm just laughing at Batwings because she said it's not the size of the pencil, but how you write your name. And so I just answered back to her in the snow.
In yellow. Deep Pan said, FBI thing, I must have missed that. Is there anything going on? Well done, mate. And Batwinch, right? You haven't been in the chat room for about 3 or 4 weeks now. I want a note off your mum where you've been, woman, because that's not okay. That is not okay.
Mr. Biker, that is the logo of a proper football team. To answer your question,
they're not doing so good at the minute, though. Although Muller is reveling in the fact that the Aston Villa youth side beat the first team in a training match. Anyway, rolling on with the week in Apple then, what's gone on and what's been happening and what should we talk about? Let's start with the pencil because it's a gentle start, a nice ease into it. 9.3 reckons that it's going to give us pencil functionality for navigation mechanisms because they took it away with the last update, which is a bit of a bitch, I have to say, because I quite enjoyed navigating around with the pencil.
Are you running the betas?
No.
Then you don't have a problem.
Why?
Right?
No, because it doesn't. My pencil doesn't generally navigate on my iPad Pro.
It should.
No, it doesn't.
Check the tip.
Okay.
Tighten your tip, man. No, I'm serious. I mean, it's happened to me a couple times too, where it's like, oh, damn, it's not navigating, and I realize that in general use, the tip can kind of come loose. It starts to unwind. Because it actually screws out, it's replaceable. So make sure that it's screwed all the way in. That's what catches me.
There's been quite a lot of people bleating though, because they're saying that they suffer from RSI, so they want the pencil. And
Right. Apple wasn't taking it out. It doesn't sound like they ever were taking it out. It just sounds like it got turned off at some point inside the betas, and just the last couple betas haven't had it working, and so people were freaking out or a little concerned that Apple was going to remove the functionality. I don't think it was intentional. I think it was just general beta stuff.
You know, Ewan, this is guaranteed going to cause a lot of kerfuffle, but if I can find the episode, I'll look for it. Freakonomics did a whole special, and they had about four different doctors come on and say point blank that RSI and carpal tunnel syndrome were complete myths made up in the late 90s, early 2000s by people who were complaining about switching to computer systems versus old typewriters.
I disagree with that. Having a degree in ergonomics, I can assure you that musculoskeletal disorders are not fictitious, mate.
No, okay.
Bernardino Ramazzini said that in 1764 or whatever it was. Gradual diseases that develop therefrom.
There was this thing about, like, you know, all these people were buying these, like, weird keyboards and getting, like, notes for work and wearing these wrist braces, and there was all of this crazy stuff going on. In the USA, everybody and their mother all of a sudden had...
I think that's a different thing, though. That's a culture of, I need to draw attention to myself rather than the fact that the diseases don't exist. There's tests you can do. So there's one called Phelan's test, which is a good test for carpal tunnel syndrome, which is where you put the backs of your hands together and you push down with your elbows and up with your arms. And that tests for it. And there's a thing called de Quervain's disease, which is where you grab your thumbs and you point it away. And you get that from doing too much PlayStation. And if you get a little bit of an ouch across the top here, then you ought to back off on the amount that you do. But generally speaking, the best thing that you can do for any of those kind of conditions is just back off on the job that you're doing that causes it. So... Horse riding causes it.
Overdiagnosed.
Yeah, maybe. I think everyone goes in and goes, oh, I've got a twinge in my wrist. But like I said to you, I've used the pad, the trackpad, and I know I hold my wrist up to use the trackpad, and it makes my wrist ache. It hurts afterwards. And when I do a Phelan's test, I can feel a point pain, and it feels rough. So I just stop doing it, you know, and that's the point. Is most of these diseases, you know, doctor, it hurts when I do this. Okay, don't do that anymore. Call me in a month. Kind of works.
Maybe I just don't type enough, because that's where I've been keyboarding since I was 8.
You mean when I push on the back of my hands, both my hands collapse?
Huh?
I can't see how that works. You'll have to send me a picture, Batwinch. I don't understand how they collapse, scared. But okay.
I'm scared to see that picture.
My girlfriend, Dan says my...
So you can hear it.
My girlfriend has had to get wrist braces, and they definitely help her, says Dan in the chat room. Yeah, it's not... You know, musculoskeletal disorders have been around since the 18th century. Well, before that, but they've been diagnosable since the 18th century. So they do exist. I'm not going to say they're not, but there's a bit of, I think there is a little bit of attention seeking perhaps sometimes from some people in it. I know certainly with chairs, you know, people buy these chairs with the big high backs and the headrests and that kind of thing. And you're like, you've got a big frigging headrest on it and your head hasn't touched it all day, mate. So don't tell me that there's anything specially wrong, you know. They just want a bit of attention, bit of love.
I'm definitely getting the coder hunchback. I'll tell you that. I got to create myself
it's
up.
It's called Dowager syndrome. That
Dowager's hump.
Dowager's hump. Yeah, my doctor complains to me about that, and they tell me to stand against the wall and push my chin in, and I'm like, now I just look like Alfred Hitchcock.
Dowager's hump. Probably the Americans think that Dowager's hump is something to do with Lady Grantham, isn't it? Yeah. And it's a bit rude. What the butler saw.
For anybody,
I don't know. I'm building a bell tower just in case. In the future.
Okay. I think using the pencil to get anywhere at all in the whole OS is a real cool thing. So I'm glad that it's not going to be removed permanently. But it was pleasing to hear. Apple, in a statement, has said, we believe a finger will always be the primary way to navigate on the iPad, but we understand that some customers like to use Apple Pencil for this as well, and we've been working on ways to better implement this while maintaining compatibility during this latest beta cycle.
Now, for me, I mean, the big thing that has become with the iPad Pro, the screen is large enough, and so stuff on the display is large enough that often, especially when I have it in sort of the notebook mode, you know, where it's folded out, mm-hmm. I'll have it further back on a desk, and it's really uncomfortable to reach up that distance to touch the screen. And if I'm already got the pencil in my hand, it's just a nice little extension so I'm not having to like overreach.
Yeah, no, I think
I would like it for accuracy. I mean, Larry, when you're navigating with it, you're a little bit more accurate with it on certain things. And I read the Serenity Caldwell part about using it for like iMovie. I did it once, I believe, or maybe it was iMovie, maybe it was the Premiere iOS thing, but it's a little bit simpler. But yeah, I don't care either way. I mean, I got it for drawing primarily, and it is kind of, I guess, easy, not if you have it in writing position, not to switch back and forth. I don't
you already really have it in your hand. I mean, otherwise, especially if you're using your dominant hand with the pencil, you're having to put it down. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. You've already got it there. Why have to put it down and then use your finger and then pick it back up? It's inefficient.
Yeah.
Why you can't stick your finger out and hold the pencil at the same time? I don't get it. Like, well, you're writing.
Adam can't use chopsticks, no.
No, I like using my dominant hand. So I've got my dominant hand where I have the pencil, and I use my dominant. I guess
you're holding the pencil. You can't go like this.
Yes, I can.
Or you can't go like that.
Again, it's easier. I don't know. I just find that I end up using the pencil if I have it in my hand, and I use my finger if I don't.
So. You drop the pencil.
You're right. I mean, I see your point.
Finger, you're holding it wrong.
See, Adam. Yeah. See, this is the technique. Look, when Doc's getting the piss out of you.
No, I got it.
No, look, watch. You see what you're watching. You go like that. Like that's the thing.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't do that. There you go. See, I can do it. Here we go. Look, the chopstick motion. That one.
Again, no? I find it not as convenient. Okay.
Have I got to blur that? Terry, you got any preference? You haven't got a pencil, have you?
I haven't got a pencil. That's what I was going to say. I don't.
Oh well, moving on.
I mean, how cool is it? Do you have any like? Are there any like quick gestures with it? Can you?
No, you touch. It's like it's like a solid finger, just like Doc did. Actually, do that motion again, Doc.
Well, except for the pressure sensitivity in drawing apps. I mean, yeah, or writing apps.
That is pretty cool. And the thing that's really the best thing about the pencil, mate, is when you turn it on its side and you start shading with it, and it shades like a proper pencil, and it's just mate, you draw a thick line, or you start sketching, and it's pressure sensitive, and that's cool, and then you flip it on its side, and you just do a bit of shading, and it's just like this big blurry shade across the thing, and it's just gorgeous.
Now that's one thing, like if you were in a text editor, right, and you were like, use the tip of it to make circle things, and you had a nice circly type line, but if you leaned it to the side and you rubbed it, you can get like highlighter. Yeah. Like in a PDF, that might be okay. Like I can see that would make sense. You know, if you could figure out a way to work that into either PDF or WordPressing application, then that would make sense. That's a great way to do edits. The way we used to do edits, where you circle stuff and make a little line, draw the squigglies, X things out.
So Robert in the chat room says, surely we all like using our dominant hand. I tend to draw with my left hand because it feels like someone else is drawing the picture then.
Yeah, I was going to say. I like to sit on it until my hand goes numb.
Excellent. Oh, well, that went longer than I thought it was going to. There is a new designer allegedly for the Apple iPhone 5 SE. 9to5 Mac posted this picture. Multiple rumors about the iPhone SE have suggested the device will resemble the iPhone 5S, but its exact design has been difficult to nail down because the same rumors have also pointed towards a curved iPhone 6 display.
There's a newer schematic that just came out this morning, I think, from a known pretty good leak source.
Right.
And it's more of a hybrid of the two. So there's some things that take notes from the 5S and some that take notes from the 6.
It kind of looks a little bit four-ish at times as well when you look at it. I think I know the one that you look. I'll just try and see if I can get this up before we finish doing the story. But
right.
There's elements of it that give me a little bit of a reminiscence of the old 4S. But
it looks like it's still going to have a back that looks more like the the 6 with the antenna lines. There you go. You can see there.
Mm.
And if you look at the side profile, it does have a rounded glass, a more rounded glass than the 5 would, which was more squarish. Which is more in line with the 6S.
What's the overall goal with this, with the 5, say SE?
Yeah, 5 SE. I mean, go on. Sorry, Adam.
I was just going to say, I mean, I think the main goal is to bring a 4-inch, an up-to-date 4-inch form factor to the line.
You don't see this as a 5S type replacement? No, not a 5S replacement.
Definitely
kind of
not.
A 5C,
I mean,
replacement.
The latest rumors are it's going to have an A9 processor.
Oh, right.
So it's going to have the same processor as the 6.
Okay.
Apple is expected to bring this out on the planned March 15th event.
Yeah, and it looks like they're going to stick with the older Flash. So there were actually two designs in this one, and one had the round Flash, like in the 6. This one seems to be the newer design, the one that Ewan just had up, the line drawing. And it has the 5 ovally Flash. So.
Yeah, it's kind of a hybrid squarey, not quite squarey thing. That's what I was saying about it's not rounded as much as the 6 is, or the 6S is, but it's got that, it's not quite square either like the 4S was. So
this line drawing is slightly more believable than the render. It feels a bit more what a 5S you would look like.
And if you compare the ports on the bottom, it, you know, everything across the bottom looks like the 5S. And not the 6. The 6 has, you know, just three little
and there's still a holes. Headphone jack.
Well, yeah, that
it, the oh yeah, good point.
Go away with, that's a good shout. 7.
Yeah, good shout, Doc. Robert in the chat room says, the Apple Pencil's great. Miles better than any other stylus I've ever used with an iPad. And Deeppan says, I think I can see the back door on that one.
Has there been any murmurings of a waterproof or anything like that? Because I know that another thing with Samsung, for example, they're just advertising, they're talking about their latest release, is it S7, something like that, G7? They're making it waterproof again. So they're going back where they went off with that, making it waterproof again.
The 7 series is the one that's rumored to be potentially waterproof, and I think some rumors are leaning toward only the 7 Plus, but it's unclear. It's unclear right now. But it's sounding like because they improved the waterproofing with the 6 line, so I would imagine it would be in line with the 6 currently, just the 6 series in terms of how much waterproofing they've done, but the 7 is rumored to be coming completely waterproof.
Separate discussion to a certain degree, or to a huge degree, but I'm struggling to see why I want to upgrade. I'm on the 6 cycle, and I was going to go for the 7 come October or something, and that'd be that. And the reason I want to do it is I think I've got water damage in my phone because I had it in my pocket when I got absolutely soaked on a railway line, and the audio doesn't play very loud in my ear sometimes, and the Wi-Fi, there's definitely something wrong with the Wi-Fi. I think that's my fault. I'm not suggesting Apple needs to pay me anything for it, but apart from that, I just don't see the reason I want to upgrade. I just think it does everything I need to do, you know. If they wrote that iPad tipping point type thing, you know.
Yeah, you wouldn't be alone. I mean, this is another reason. I mean, they're bringing, I think, the 4-inch form factor out sort of mid-cycle. Is if you look at the latest numbers, there's definitely a slowing trend in terms of people upgrading and buying more phones. So the 4-inch form factor is a way to capture a market. There is a number of consumers that want that form factor, so that'll kind of help iPhone numbers a little bit. But Ewan, I think naturally what's happening is the line's gotten to the point where it's mature, and this isn't just an Apple problem. This is the whole smartphone industry as a whole, and you're seeing a general trend of people not upgrading as frequently because, you know, maybe the camera gets a little bit better, maybe the processor gets a little bit better, but it's not enough to compel most consumers to say, oh yeah, I absolutely have to have that new phone. A lot more consumers are saying, hey, I can wait another year, I'll wait.
The camera's the switch for me.
One and skip an upgrade cycle.
If the camera, you know, significantly improves, then damn, I'm gone. I'm having it. No worries. There's no question.
Well,
Muller's taking the piss.
There is that rumor of the dual lens system. So, I mean, they may do. If they go to that dual lens thing that they're talking about, especially in the 7 Plus, that would be, for camera people, a big reason to upgrade. Because you get the adaptive focus. You get the extra clarity with the dual lens system. I mean, it brings a lot of interesting things. You get the optical zoom. So
3D Touch is being mentioned by Dan in the chat room, and Muller's saying Ewan won't upgrade like he wasn't going to buy an Apple Watch. Which, to be fair, I didn't.
Can I ask you, now that 3D Touch has been brought up, as cool as it is, do you know that like 90% of the time for me, I forget to even use it? Like, I forget the feature's even there.
I'm not surprised.
And maybe that's just a personal training thing, but, you know, I thought it was going to be cool and all that. If you never use it, if you're like me and you forget to use it, then it kind of becomes a moot feature.
You have to train yourself to use it. That's 100% true. And Adam, on that note, like, I was probably, I'm going to say somewhere mid-January, I realized that I wasn't using it either. And it came up during, like, we have this thing called Wetware Wednesdays, where once a month on a Wednesday, all of the tech people, the nerd people in the town get together at a bar and suck them up and talk about tech and advancing the tech community here in Hawaii. And somebody was saying, oh, man, are you loving 3D Touch? And I was like, dang, you know what? I always forget to use it. And then so I just put a note on my desk right across from my computer, and it just simply wrote pound 3D Touch. And then so I just forced myself to do it. And now that I do it, I don't think I can take it away. But you definitely have to teach yourself to use it. It is not automatic, because we are phone device people who are always heavily using it from a long standpoint a certain way. It wasn't as easy to pick up. Someone who is their first iPhone and they're learning it that way, I think they just adapt straight to it.
Yeah. I definitely have to use it more.
I think, to be fair to Apple, the maxim has always been about three different ways to do the same thing. You know, if you look at the way that Final Cut works, or the way that Logic works, or any of the pro-end apps, there's numerous ways to get to the same conclusion. And that's, I think, what you've got to see the 3D Touch as. It's a tool, and I think, you do it once, and you hit a workflow that's like, okay, yeah, no, I get that. That really works for me, because that cuts out X number of steps. Then you'll use it constantly. And if you don't hit that, then that's it.
I'm so bad about productivity. Like, I don't know keyboard shortcuts for anything. I use my mouse, clicking and pointing everything. I'm so badly trained.
I'm going to go back to Steve Watson, mate. Steve Watson, the old boy in the drawing room, mate, when I was working at a project down in Heathrow, and he said, if you don't know the shortcuts, you're a wanker. And he's right. You've got to know the keyboard shortcuts.
I know the basic ones. I don't know all the advanced. You know, I'm not at David Sparks level, you know, and I kind of would love to be there. But
Command C, Command V doesn't cut it, mate.
I don't have the time. I'm too busy, man.
Yeah. Doc, what were you saying?
No, I'm just doing something real quick. I'm piping through the home screen, and I realized that on my home screen, as it stands, what is there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rows of 4. There is about 30% of these, the apps that are sitting on the home screen still don't even have it implemented. Because, I mean, we're talking developers that I thought for sure would be on the cuff, like, to do it. This is no small app. It's pretty huge. It still don't do it. And that's an app that could totally use it, you know? What was the other one that I just... Oh, Philips Hue, where it would be perfect for. They still haven't updated it, you know? Right. Of course, Google Maps just said, screw it. We're not even going to bother. Slack doesn't have it. Again, no small app. No shrinking violet. Slack would be perfect for it, because I could jump through my different channels before I get to the app. And trying to switch, if you're using Slack on the phone and you're in the photo show and you try to hit the little stupid cross mark to switch it to the big show, sometimes you got to hit it 2 or 3 times. So there's an app that definitely can use it, and they haven't even implemented it yet.
Yeah, I think another problem for me is I launch almost all my apps. I've gotten in the habit of launching all the apps from the search screen, because the apps on my home screen are all in folders. So I probably need to undo that a little bit too, where I need to move critical apps out of folders, and I'd probably use 3D Touch more.
I definitely do a lot of search screening.
I've got to say, and I'm cautious of doing this because I've got my phone at the right-hand side here broadcasting on Jabber. If you want to watch us on Jabber, you can watch us on there. I use Hey Siri an awful lot now since I've had the Mophie Juice Pack. You know, and it's sitting there, it's constantly on charge. So because it's being powered, I can use that function. You'd sod off. So I can use that function and say, you know, set an alarm, set a whatever, do whatever it wants. Sorry?
You can use it whenever you do and you don't want to.
Yeah, well, no, but the thing, I mean, this leads on to the next story to a certain degree, because there's a talk of, in 10.12, Siri is coming to the Mac menu bar. I'm torn here, because actually, if you're saying I've got to click on a mic icon and then talk, okay, I like that. That's all right. I can do with that. What I'd love to see is an hello
always
Siri
on
type thing.
Siri.
Yes, I'd love to see that. But and it'd be great if it went into functionality, like, you know, if you're in Final Cut, you say scroll 10 minutes. Scroll 10 minutes on, scroll 10 minutes back, you know, that kind of stuff. That'd be superb.
I think we're getting there. I mean, I think that kind of functionality is going to come. First step is just getting it implemented on the the Mac, and why it's taken them so long, I have no idea. But it's interesting. I wonder if they want to implement a must-click kind of thing, because if you're like me, you have your phone on your desk, and it's probably docked and charging as well.
Yeah.
So I already use that you know, voice Siri functionality just at my desk for things like if I get an email and I want to schedule an appointment, or I need to add a reminder, or I need to set a timer, or any of these things, I do all that with voice without picking up my hands from the keyboard, without having to do anything, and just let Siri handle some of those daily tasks. I already do that at my desk just through my phone, and having it built into the desktop is going to make it, I think, that much better. I would worry about the conflict, though, you know, which one is going to pick up. And I already kind of have that problem, you know, with like the whole everything rings issue. You know, I think that needs to be made smarter. That bugs the crud out of me.
The thing I think the reason that they've held off for quite a while is I think you'll find that it's Hey Siri has got to function on or Siri's got to function on laptops offline, because that's the real issue, isn't it? So I think that's why it's probably taken longer to stick it on the Mac, because they're worried about people having to use it when they're not connected anywhere. So yeah, that's my thought.
That's more of a non-issue for me. I know we're kind of privileged in terms of having a lot of available access compared to, you know, some parts of the world, but I'm almost never in a place where I don't have some kind of activity anymore, it seems like.
Tez is saying, why are you not saying this on the podcast, Terry? You're just talking in the chat room.
Sorry.
And Dan says that Siri on the Mac is long, long overdue. Go on, Terry, what do you have to add?
No, somebody was asking how you find the hash key on Windows Bootcamp. And I think it's shift/backslash or shift pipe or something like that on the right hand.
The hashtag is Alt-3.
Even on the Bootcamp.
Oh, on Bootcamp, maybe no. Okay. Maybe not.
Your keyboard different from ours? Because I think it is the same. Because I use Bootcamp every single day, and I never even think about it, but I'm sure I press that button a lot.
Are you talking about Alt-3 or?
Ours is Shift-3.
Shift-3.
Yeah.
Is that what the hash is? I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I was using it, like, the other day, and I probably pressed it, like, 5 or 6 times just to find an ID or something. But no, I don't remember now. Just because
you know what? In Bootcamp, there's a setting that says make your keyboard automatically do the right stuff regardless of whether you're doing it right or not.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There is it's basically make your keyboard behave like Mac or Windows. That's one of the settings.
Yeah.
And
so
if you do it through Parallels or whatever that thing I showed you guys last week, there's also a setting in there too where you can say make your keyboard act like a Mac keyboard even when you're in the Windows side. Because I cannot get out of the habit of Command S, Command V, Command X, C, V. And it screws me up so much that I finally put that switch on. And I always thought I didn't need that crutch, but I needed it.
So, Doc, just to finish off on what you're saying there, you're saying Shift-3 is the hashtag, and it is on American keyboard layout, but you call the hashtag the pound symbol, don't you?
That's right.
Right.
And that's also why on a U.S. keyboard, Alt-3 is how you type British pound.
Sterling, yes,
yeah.
And that's the problem. So our default on 3 is shift 3 is pounds sterling on a UK keyboard on a British layout. So,
So what's on shift 4 then? Because that's where ours is.
Is shift 4 is dollar symbol?
As it should be. Now, you know what's funny though? I find that young people. This is super funny. I just had this conversation with a friend. I was like, "Hey, you got to hit the pound key," and they were like, "What?" I was like, "Hit the pound key." And they go, "Oh, you mean the hashtag?" And I was like, holy crap, I'm old now. Because like my brain interchanges them all day long without even thinking about
See, but this is what happens when you start corrupting a language, mate. You start with one little bit.
Well, you know hashtag is a really new term also, right?
What's that?
Hashtag is a brand new term.
Yeah, no doubt. That's what I'm saying. But it's, some people adapt it to a right way, but it's just become the new vernacular.
Hash. All the time.
I know what hash was 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
I think it has an older provenance, an older.
I think we need a right chat room. You're on it. Find the history of hashtags. There we go.
That'll keep not hash, just to
clarify. That'll not hash browns, not corned beef hash. Just Okay.
Sheesh.
I went to a site today.
Originally by like the phone company or something. Right?
I was filming at a site in London today, and the site is right next to a fairly unpleasant area of London, and all I could smell all day was marijuana. Constantly, I couldn't not smell it. Someone is growing something down there. I promise you, there was a big farm.
It's always the ex-cops.
You reckon?
Hey.
No. It's not Muller. He was in. Hagley Road. Galaxy S7 has been awarded Best Smartphone Display by DisplayMate Technologies, and everyone is declaring that the Apple shift to OLED displays must happen in the next 2 to 3 years. And I've got to say, I don't want an OLED display. I couldn't give a stuff about changing the displays. Really? I think the displays are just fine. Thank you very much.
I would have said you're right last week or 2 weeks ago. I would absolutely have agreed with you. So we got the LG 920B, and it's incredible. We went back to our LG 4K, and the difference was unreal. This LG 4K we've been using for probably about a year now, and it's been by far the best TV in the house. And then we come back to it yesterday after watching that 4K downstairs, the OLED, and the colour depth is noticeably different. I mean, massively different. I don't know if it's because you do get that true black, so you get that true range of, of shades of each colour and, saturation. In fact, that's probably exactly what it is, because the pixels are self-lit. The saturation or desaturation from having to have a white backlight on there isn't there. It's just completely omitted. And you will notice it going from OLED to LED, you will notice it. I just guarantee it. Absolutely.
I looked at, because where I used to have the office and I used to crawl in to do all the shows, that's now like a gaming room for Ellis and Bryony to sit in and watch. They've got their own Apple TV and they sit in there and they've got the computer and all that kind of stuff. And we had a 40-inch plasma in the old room, and we've now got a 60-inch LED. And I went in and watched them on the plasma, and I looked at it and I was like, God, I want the plasma back. The plasma quality is just unbelievable.
Yeah, the blacks are really rich in plasma. But they're pretty rich in OLED too.
Yeah, no, they should be. But the LED, you can tell that you can tell it's just that little bit more washed out. The contrast is so much better. 30,000 ratio, whatever it is.
Somebody's tea is ready.
Who's that? Terry, is that you?
No, Guinness is ready.
The Guinness is ready to come out of the fridge. Yes. We're trying Guinness Golden Ale tonight. I've got a Guinness West Indies Porter here, which you can't see through the label because it's gone opaque. There we go. It's gone transparent. Nice. That was lovely. That was absolutely lovely. I really enjoyed that. But we're doing a Guinness Golden Ale next, which is frozen solid jubbly. But here you go, Guinness Golden Ale. There we go. We're going to try that one. I had one of these at the Ryther Arms. If you haven't done the Ryther Arms, you really must do the Ryther Arms. It's a steakhouse in North Yorkshire near Tadcaster, and it is absolutely unbelievable. The Palace of Meat is the local name for it. So go and check it out, Tony. Hi, mate.
I've got an old dirty beaver chilling in my fridge.
Well,
right now.
You should wash more then.
It's a bourbon barrel aged imperial stout.
Good. Are you drinking it now?
No, it's in the fridge. I mean, it's only 11. Well, it's almost noon.
There you go. You can get it. Oh, hi. Well, thanks, man. I don't need a glass. I'm drinking bottles. I'm gonna do the bottles. Oh, we should pass it through the hatch, ain't you? Right underneath the front. Last story then. Tim Cook goes on a show last night and starts to go on about the FBI case, of course. I don't want to get into all the stuff we covered last week, but there has been some developments this week that we need to talk about after he wrote his open letter and all that kind of thing. He's come out with a phrase. I mean, Twitter started calling it the signed malware today because it couldn't seem to garner any kind of support for a riot, an anonymous style riot. Tim's called it the software equivalent of cancer, which I'm guessing a few people who've had cancer would probably say, try it, Tim, because I bet it really isn't. this has just turned into a world, you know, WWF wrestling match build up. There's no class in this.
That's what we do over here.
Yeah.
With litigation and stuff. I mean, it's not surprising to anybody in the US, I don't think. You know, we play stuff out in the media.
I don't like it. Nor do I. Because then the sad part is the media doesn't necessarily know the damage that they do either way sometimes. And sometimes they do know and they don't care. They just, you know, let it run. The best things that came out all week is the part where Apple said, you know, we wanted them to do this quietly. And we may have had a little bit better chance of getting things resolved. We asked them, but then they decided to go to the thing, so we stood our stance. You know, they went to task. They went and told everyone. And had they been able to keep it quietly, Apple was trying to show them how to get it through the iCloud setup directly. And then after, they swear to God they didn't do it. I mean, they told so many lies on the FBI side, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of commentary come in on this. There was a couple of people were upset at me for banging the desk last week. The reason I banged the desk was it was the third time in a row that I was trying to get a point out and someone had just talked over the top of me. So I was just frustrated. It got nothing to do with not, you know, throwing me Teddy in the corner, which one person accused me of. I did have an exchange today with some moron who was on Twitter, and I can't believe I called him a moron last night and he's still following me this morning, and I think he's probably still following me now except I blocked him because he's a twat. But the thing that really got me, and this was the thing, when someone comes in with a point and you come back, no, that's not the way it is, this is the way it is, they realise that they can't counter that and they just come out with some more rhetoric on this, and that's the real problem with it. The camera's cut down. Why the hell's the camera switched off? No idea. And they just come out with some more rhetoric that just, it's almost like it's a, leave it, it's all right, it's fine, it's on. It's almost like it's an indoctrination of what to say it's an indoctrination of what to say rather than a thought process of logically thinking about it. And you said this before we started, Doc. You were going on about, well, hang on, you know, they've admitted that there's 12 in the Department of Justice that they want doing, and New York's got 174 of these.
174.
So, but what people aren't getting is you can't have, if they open this phone, yes, it shows that there's a technique to do it, but everyone knows there's a technique to do it if they really want it. But that is 12 warrants. That is 12 times courtroom, and that is 12 times judges who may see each case individually differently. Because although you've got the idea of the fact that yes, you can open an iPhone, it's like no, you have to have a probable cause here. You have to convince me that this is worth doing and putting this onus on this company to do it. Forget about what Apple's needs to say. You've got to get it past a judge to get the warrant in the first place, and you're talking about 174 of those in New York alone. That's not one case, that's 174 court times, that's 174 judges, that's 174 warrants, and you may well lose. So you've got to sit and think, how much information am I getting out of that phone? Is it really worth the fact that I may lose this? And they can do that now. This court case has absolutely nothing to do with any of those phones because they can all go for a warrant right this very minute. It doesn't stop it.
Yeah, so it's
well, they are. I mean, those 12 are already going through the process.
Exactly. My point entirely. This case has nothing to do with it. Sorry, Doc, go ahead.
No, and that's what makes it so bad. Like, the amount of posturing that goes on, and it's not even the posturing, it's the politicizing of it all. And I think the part that's the most messed up, literally nothing to do with the FBI and nothing to do with Apple. This is on us, right? We have so many people in our nation who will hear something come out of Cooper's mouth or Hannity and Cole's mouth or, you know, Lester Holt, whomever. And all of a sudden, what they said in that one piece, in that 1 20-second clip, is now gospel. They no longer add any more information. Our group right here, we're pretty awesome. We've been adding more information, making adjustments, going, okay, now I'm mad at the FBI. Now I'm mad at Apple. Okay, the FBI screwed up. Tim Cook's a wanker. Like, we're going back and forth. We're doing the proper thing. We're staying invested. We're trying to figure this out. And maybe that's because we used to have a certain amount of love for it. But when I see the polls come out that says 60-some-odd percent of the people are still against it, and and you could tell from what they're saying, it either came directly from their news outlet or from the Facebook law school. It kills me because I'm like, here's something that's really important to our nation, and you're taking one headliner and making a decision in POW. We're good. And POW, P-O-W, that's Hawaiian word, POW meaning finish. Sorry.
Yeah.
I hate when they do that. but it's just mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing, and I agree with Adam. This is 2-3 years in the making. So when the next story comes out, some senator does something stupid like flashes his wing at the Piggly Wiggly. Oh, no, this is not going to be talked about anymore. And it's going to go back to where it should have came from. It's going to get hammered out. And we're going to be stuck with one decision left or right without the proper, you know, trying this in the public. And here's something that should have not been tried in the public in the first place.
Yeah.
See, there's not enough information either way to put this where they put it. So here we stand. Hella conflicted.
It's polarized.
Excuse me, sir?
It's polarized.
Polarizing, yes. Hella conflicted is because, polarizing.
But that's what scaremongering does. It takes the tinfoil hat brigades on both sides and run them under the opposite bench. And that's the trouble with this thing is there's no, you know, this, I've written an article today on BritishTechNetwork.com that says privacy without the curtains. And it's, you know, this should have been done in a court with people who knew what they were talking about using proper legal argument and overseen by a judge. And that's fine. Have an open court record. I'm not talking about a closed record. I'm talking about an open court record that everyone can then report on and look at afterwards. But that's where all of this should have taken place. Not in an open letter, not in all the crap and blogging and press conferences that Coney's done and all that kind of stuff. Both sides are at fault. This is a media circus now, and it detracts from a proper legal process, which has been taken and has been followed and will be followed again and again and again. Sorry, Adam.
And there's a lot of misinformation being divulged by the media, too, just because it's going to stir the pot.
Yes, totally. I mean, like I said, that, you know, this is now the signed malware on Twitter, which is
Adam,
just
before
bollocks.
You jump in, I'm going to just say one little 10-second thing.
No problem.
You know, if you want to check, you want to check how good this works, you're in for the next couple of weeks. Watch the news on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. In the U.S., known to be the slow news cycle days, and that's where they will stir the pot with the dumbest shit.
Yeah.
Because if nothing else is going in the world, there's no NBA thing, there's no baseball thing right now, you know, pro football is over. You know, if Trump or Sanders or Hillary doesn't step in the dog pile of shit that week, watch the dumb shit they come up with about Apple versus FBI every Tuesday, Wednesday for the next 3 weeks. I put money on it.
Yeah. Adam, go ahead.
I think it's an important fact to know. Apple came out publicly and said they knew the FBI was going to issue this order, and they asked them to do it I forget the legal term, sealed or whatever it might be. They had asked them not to file the order in an open way. So the first shot that got this out into the public was on the FBI side. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
So the open letter came in response to that open filing. So that's sort of what kicked everything off. And that's not passing judgment on either side. That's just something that people need to understand. Like how this whole debate even came into the public eye.
But that just because the other side lacks any class doesn't mean you have to be just as bad and worse.
Fair point.
But does that not kind of load the gun for Apple in the sense that they, you know, if somebody says publicly for something that's quite a scary thing, I mean, it's a scary thing for me or you as an iPhone user to know that or to for somebody to publicly request that a way for the device to be hacked. I think it kind of forces Apple's hand to say publicly, now we disagree with that and we're not going to do that, rather than the ambiguity of saying, of saying nothing at all.
They don't have a right to say they're not doing it. There's a court order upon them. They have a right to appeal the court order, but they can't flatly say they don't want to do it or they're not going to do it. Tim's opportunity here was to show some real class and say, as you probably heard, because the FBI have said this in public, we didn't want this to be a public matter. We wanted to deal with this properly through the courts. There has been a request to unlock this iPhone. At this point in time, we do not believe that this is a capability that we should undertake. However, we are pursuing this through the appeals process through the US court structure. End of story. He would have looked like a king. He would have gone, you shouldn't have gone public with this. And I've got more class than you have, now sod off. And he would have gone way up in my estimation there. As it is, I've heard from him three times now, and each time he's come out with something, I'm kind of like, Tim, you should be shutting up, mate, because if it does get to the stage where you have to say, no, Apple will not open this, you're going to go to jail for the things that you've said. And if you'd have said, no, we want to follow it through the correct court process, and you'd have kept a respectful silence, you'd have not humiliated yourself and not humiliated the court process. Because the problem is, the court process is being lumped as the government, and your judicial process is not your government. And that's what frustrates me, because it's being trivialized by being rolled along in this circus, and it's not it. It's not it at all.
One other point on that go to jail thing that I'm not clear at, and I'm still trying to dig into this, and I would love it if there's a lawyer out there that can explain this. But not long after this case broke, they were trying to push through, or there was a thing they were going to try and create some legislation that would make it so that corporations in these quarter cases, if they don't comply, would have penalties. But it sounds like because the court order is against a corporation and not an individual, I don't know that the whole contempt thing is in play. It's not clear what the penalties, if this goes all the way, and this is a big if this goes all the way and then Apple says, no, we're still not doing it, it's not clear what the penalties may or may not be.
So the legal principle that you've got is a thing called the controlling mind. And the controlling mind accepts the fact that there are people at the top of organizations who guide policy and steer it, and then the hands and arms take that into action. And Tim is the controlling mind of Apple. There is no question.
Right, but I don't know if law in the U.S. says he would go to jail if I don't know that.
The problem you've got is that he's made actual statement about non-compliance. That's where he's going to get a problem. He's actually come out and said, we aren't doing this. You know, we are trying our hardest not to do this. And if it gets to the point where he goes, no, okay, that's it, we're not doing this, they've got so much behind him that they could really make his life absolute hell. And I don't think that's overreaching with that. I think the other thing that people have got to understand, this is something I wanted to bring up today, and this goes back to the article I wrote this afternoon, is people seem to think that because they give something valuable to them, to a third party, that they have the right to have that secured. And they don't. If you take your DNA and you give it to 23andMe or Ancestry.com, that's now public record, effectively, for an investigation. You've got a closed closed agreement with them that they're going to hold on to it, and there's confidentiality within that, and they will respect that because they won't give it to all and sundry. But you cannot expect them to withhold it when there is a court requirement to divulge it, because you shouldn't have given it out. If you didn't want everyone, it's like a photo on Flickr. You stick a photo on Flickr, mate, it's gone. And you go, oh, well, but it's my copyright and I can sue afterwards. Good luck, mate, because that's gone at that point. The impetus is done and dusted. It's out of the way. One of the things I say in the article, if you want your best friend not to know that you're shagging his wife, don't sell someone else. That's the easiest way, because once you tell someone else, it's in the public domain. You have no control over that rumor then that takes place, or that Twitter, that whispering, that Chinese whispers that'll go off from that. And that's what people don't understand, is if you've got something and you give it to a third party, you lose any privilege over it at all. The only people that you have privilege with is your doctor and your lawyer. Outside of that, you have no legal privilege with information that you pass to a third party. It is open to request by law through warrant or court order. And you're stuffed. And I don't think, there's another story here, that Apple is now working on an unhackable device that it will then operate. And
well, that's rubbish as well. That's the natural progression of this. That's
well, it is. Surprising. But that's the problem. Is I don't believe your government will ever allow you to have an unhackable device. There can never be a box that cannot be opened by the law through proper legal process.
There's no law for that right now. That's the stuff that they're trying to push through.
I
mean, ultimately, yeah, that's the firing back. I mean, that's the problem with Apple going that route, is the next step will be the government outlawing the ability for a corporation to do that. I mean, that's the concern, right?
Batwinch has pointed out the confessional may have legal privilege, but I don't think it does, because if you admitted to an offence in there, they've got a duty to go and inform on you, same as a psychiatrist has. If you commit, if you admit to committing of an offence or intent to commit offence, there is a legally binding requirement for your priest and your psychiatrist to divulge that to the authorities. So I don't think that applies. I'm pretty sure it's only health records I'll stand corrected, but, you know.
Spousal.
There's no spousal privilege, mate. Forget that. Don't tell your wife anything. Jesus Christ, are you stupid?
I'm not married, so I'm guaranteed the smartest one.
Even worse!
I tell him, dude, it's all in there. I'm dying with these bad boys.
Muller's put a link in the chat room, and he's asking me to click it. No!
No. I've put the bit in there that you need to read.
Okay, I'm joking, mate. I will.
Okay, so I want to answer something to Muller real quick. He posted in the Slack room. I didn't answer back right away because I didn't feel like typing. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. You made a comment, Muller, in the chat room, in the Slack room about the whole collateral damage thing, and it's very true what you said, except for I got 2 words for you for the United States government. Drone strikes.
Look, hang on. No. We are not taking opening a f***ing iPhone 5C into drone strikes.
He said it. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. That's the end of it. He knows what I'm talking about. I'm not going to go any further because it'll be a long-ass conversation. He knows what I meant and what I said.
I'm going to edit that out. We are not talking about opening a 5C and a drone strike in the same sentence. I don't care who said it. We're not doing it, all right? Because that's just, it's bad enough that they called it software cancer, for Christ's sake.
That's true.
Oh. Apparently.
What if this wasn't Apple? What if this was Google?
That's what I said.
Same thing. No different, mate.
Yeah, but it would be played out completely different in the media here. And if it was Google or Microsoft, it would be played out completely in a different media here. Everyone has been gunning for Apple because they are top of the food chain. It just happened.
Oh, that's bullshit. Listen, okay. This is not because Apple has got a good share price. Give over.
No, our media is like that, brother. It doesn't matter about share price. It could be anything. It might even be a company. If you are a person and you're the number one of that person of whatever you're doing, they can't wait to screw you up. Everyone's loving to watch Kanye's meltdown. About 2 years from now, they'll be loving to watch Taylor's meltdown. And whoever is at top of the food chain, our country loves to pump them up. Okay, you got them, and then punch them right in the nads and watch them fall. Oh, yeah, we've been doing it for decades.
So
our media sucks for that.
Okay. So anyway, the essence of the article that Muller's posted is, I'm quoting this out now.
This is what I was looking for.
So if Apple refuses a court order, even one that hurts the company, it can be held in contempt of court, and the US government could fine the company every day for when it doesn't comply. With $200 billion in cash in the bank, this may take a while. But a federal judge could insist that top Apple executives could go behind bars in theory. And the only thing I will add to that is there has to be a dissent or intent that comes from the controlling mind. And I think Tim's burnt that already. He's a goner.
Okay.
He's the guy.
If you read a little bit deeper in the story, just a couple other things I want to point out from this piece. This is a CNN money piece. So apparently they consulted with 7 corporate lawyers. All but one, they say, said the executives could get sent to jail if they're held in contempt, but none of them could point to a single case where that has happened. So that's where the in theory, I think, comes from, is this has never happened before, but hey, there's a first time for everything.
Right? Depends how much you want it, isn't it? I mean, that's the key. a couple of comments that have come in during the course of the week. Someone told me off for shouting at people last week, but I just got fed up and frustrated. So I apologize if I did. Michael Brown on Twitter said, I agree, this can be done for this phone and privacy for others can be retained. I may switch to the new Galaxy 7e though, however. Cook's an opportunist. He and other people are making this about privacy because of larger arguments. W. Bono Dowell, who's French, said, I agree this is a circus, and he disagreed with me quite heavily before. He said, I agree this is a circus on both sides. It risks turning into an O.J. Simpson-style American celebrity justice event. That's well worded. As a U.S. citizen, I'm pissed off, says Michael. We're going Android now. It's better, so my game. Complete fools out of the lot of them.
Whoa. That argument to me, you guys, if you want an unsecure system that people can get into, yeah, jump to Android.
No, but it's just funny that people even, that's how polarizing we are by nature. We automatically turn this into an Android versus iOS thing.
No, it's not
even about that.
It's not about that at all.
No.
And it goes back to what Tez said a little bit ago.
I'm just saying if your ultimate concern is privacy, that's probably in security of your own device and your own data, that's probably not the best move to make.
No. I just think, you know, long and the short of it is, I don't believe there should ever be a completely unlockable box. And you talk about end-to-end encryption is the thing that's coming. I can see that being outlawed because, you know, you have got some seriously bad people out there. And with judicial oversight, there should always be an opportunity to look under the covers at what those seriously bad people are doing. There has to be due process, and there has to be a reasonable assumption of guilt or a reasonable assumption of wrongdoing, if you like, then, for that warrants to be issued and that case to be opened. But I see no justification whatsoever for a completely sealed, unopenable case ever.
Yeah. One other thing, if you want to switch phones over this, and Deep Pan has it in the chat, Windows Phone. Go to Windows Phone. It is, as near as I can tell from the security articles I've been reading, it would be the most secure option for you to choose for your, again, for your own personal privacy security.
Okay, two things. I'm going to agree with Mueller. This doesn't happen very often. I agree with him less than I agree with Kelly. But the whole thing about Apple needs to tread careful, especially in this bitter election, and the way that the media is playing this out, it's definitely been designed to turn people against Apple, and it is kind of sort of starting to work a little bit. They haven't completely stepped in it. But yeah, this is something that they need to be careful with because they can't get this turned against them. Now, but Mueller, to back you up, to unback you up, that stupid Tom Cotton statement, I meant to bring this up a long time ago. I'm glad you reminded me of it. Jeez,
yeah, I'm glad you're calling him out on it.
The thing about the statement, and if you guys remember, back in December, there was a big article that says, okay, yeah, these guys are not directly connected with ISIS as far as we can see this nice little incidents. There is some radicalism and stuff involved, but we don't see any direct ties to ISIS. Blah, blah, blah. We'll keep you posted. Now that they want to get into the phone, people have been, you hear the word terrorists or you hear the word extremist and people automatically connect ISIS where ISIS doesn't even have anything to do with it yet. And he's using that because that word scares people in the U.S. right now.
Yep.
And then these guys may be very well in certain cell, but there has been no providence that they are directly connected to ISIS. And so for him to throw that around as a bat is kind of ridiculous.
And software cancer is not provocative at all, no.
It's again, stated earlier, though. This is both sides using inflammatory words and language to confuse the world, the public.
Totally. And my view is both of you shut the up, go in a courtroom, and come back when you're finished. Because that's it. The way up. Right. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. They're awesome. We love them to bits. We can't do this show without them. They're absolutely stunning. And you should support them too, because every time you listen to one of our shows, you've got to know that UK2 is allowing you to do that. They give us all the bandwidth. They give us all the hosting. We've got the Not Quite Live channel now, which is playing all of our old shows, going right the way back to the Bagel Tech days. We've got Carl Swagger doing the news show, and that plays the last three episodes. Every fourth or fifth play, you'll get the news show. So, you know, we're right up to date. We're right up to the current cutting-edge stuff. And UK2 is doing that, along with Anders and Wheaters and Shads in the backroom boys. They're sorting us out. But please support UK2. If you want anything for the net, then go to britishnetnetwork.com/sponsors and you'll see a whole pile of offer codes, 20% off your basket potentially if you buy the right stuff. If you want to sign into your account and you're an existing UK2 customer, then just go to britishnetnetwork.com/UK2 and they'll know that we sent you. Okay, so that gives us the kudos for the fact that you're a returning customer. To quote them, they are very happy that they are supporting us. So you guys are really looking after them. Thanks ever so much. And if you'd like to support the net more directly, then please go to britishtechnetwork.com/Patreon and you can give a donation each month via the Patreon service. And we get 80% of that comes through to us after deductions by Patreon and by PayPal. And that goes into buying lighting, microphones, that kind of stuff. The Skype wall's getting a bit old and creaky, so if anyone's got any really good computers that they can pass our way to run the Skype wall, then please send them through, and we'd love to have them. Any support you can give the network, if you're a programmer, if you can do something to help us in the back end on the website, you know, anything, service that you've got that you think you can provide to help BTN, then please give us a shout, because it would be really, really cool. An audio issue, solving the audio issue that we've got with Jabber at the moment. That'd be fantastic. Right, it's time for the cool thing. Start us off, T. Terry B. Did you bring one?
My cool thing. I was actually saving my cool thing for the big show. However, I'm going
Well, you need to find two, mate. Don't be a lazy bastard.
All right, I'll find another one. Father.io is my cool thing.
Go on. Yeah.
It's currently trending on, not Kickstarter, the other one. What's the other one called?
Indiegogo.
Indiegogo,
yeah, that's the one. And it is the first real-life MMO FPS. It's just, it looks incredible. You go around, you shoot with your phone, you even can get like a little lens on it as well. It just looks really exciting. They've got two modes as well. One of them is literally a multiplayer game. And the other one is what is the other one? Can't remember what the other one is. But essentially you control areas, you get energy boost, you get money for securing areas as well. And it's pretty awesome. The packs that are available now, I think you get a special deal as well if you're within a certain 10,000 people limit as well. You get like 20% off. So it's pretty good to get in there early. I'll try and find the link.
Yeah,
I'll
say stick a link in the chat room for us. That'd be brilliant. Excellent.
Are we allowed to do referral links here? Or
for you? Yeah, go for it, mate. It's not a problem. Yeah, you're giving of your time to come on the show, mate. If it helps you out, then that's good. No worries at all. Adam, what have you got for us?
I have a cool little product from SpyGen. I don't know if you can see on the back of my phone here. This little ring that you attach. It's with a little gel so you can easily take it off and put it back on. And what's cool about it is you stick it on your phone, it folds flat, it still goes into my pocket nice and easily. But then you can flip it out and you can use it as a little desk stand. You can turn it to the side and you can prop it up if you're watching movies or things like that. And it also comes with a little attachment that you can mount on your dashboard and you hook it into, and it securely attaches your phone, and you can put it, you can rotate it into landscape or you can put it into portrait. It's just a handy little thing. And I read about it on 9to5 Mac. And it costs on Amazon. If you go to SpyGen, I think is the right name. But regardless, if you go to their website, it says it retails for like $24.99 US. But if you go to Amazon, you can get it for a lot less. It's £10.99 in the UK on Amazon right now. And I'll give you the Amazon link in the chat room. So it's called the SpyGen Style Ring. And it comes in different colors, so they have white and black and I think a silver, so you can match your phone, the little thing on the back, and it's
excellent.
Real neat little device.
It does. Looks good, mate. Thank you. Doc, what's your cool thing?
Posted my link in the chat room. Okay, so full disclosure, the girl who invented this project is a friend of mine. When I had my co-working space, she used to work out of my co-working space sometimes. She's a great YouTube producer, and she does a lot of creative media stuff. But she's solving a kind of funny hack to people who use chopsticks on an everyday basis, but it's also a very useful hack. Okay, so she's invented something called the crop sticks. And basically, one of the things in chopstick culture, like, you're not supposed to stick your unhanded ones into the bowl with the sticks hanging out. That's a bad luck. Or in certain cultures, you can't drape them across the bowl. So a lot of times when you want to put it down to grab your ale or do whatever, a lot of people don't know what to do with their sticks. Hawaii-born people, we fold up pieces of paper, which doesn't always work, and sometimes they roll off the table. You lose one on the floor. So she invented a way. The thing that normally holds them together at the top, on the ones that they're running on Kickstarter here, you basically snap this off. And it turns into a proper hashioki. Hashioki is Japanese. Where's
the chopsticks? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So they don't roll off.
So it's
off
a stand. It's a little stand for the gooey end.
The sticks. If you go to higher end restaurants, they give you one. But a lot of places do not. Or if you're at home, a lot of them don't get that, right? Yes, Mylin is absolutely gorgeous. And she's brilliant. And, you know, I hate when people say that, oh, she's pretty smart for a hot girl. No, it's not. I hate when people say that. She's legitimately brilliant. She's a really fun person. nice to hang out with. But I love this idea because this is something that literally I use chopsticks about 4 or 5 times a day. And we're always looking for something to do with them when you want to unhand them. And I have tricks of like getting them stuck between my couple of back fingers so I can still hold the drink and not stab myself in the eye. Like everyone has all these tricks. So this is really cool because for people who are becoming new to chopsticks as the Asian food craze is running across the U.S., they would know all of those weird tricks and they end up losing sticks. So I think it's a really cool thing. It's not very expensive. If you want to back it, back it. If not, I just like the creativity of something as simple as something that's been made for thousands of years and they figured out how to make it better.
Yeah, so just to kind of get this straight in everyone's head, when you get a set of chopsticks, if you've used them in the bowl and they've got food on the end of them and you're going to put them back in your mouth, you don't want them to put on the table because the table has Christ knows what on it in terms of germs. There's a little pedestal thing that you can rest them on that stops it touching the table. So what she's done is built this thing on the end and you snap it off and put it on the table and then you've got your little pedestal. So it's a great idea. 79 backers already, $5,000 pledged of $20,000 and... she's got 29 days to go, so get in there. Mylen, you know, Fei Yamamoto.
Mylen Fei Yamamoto. The one other thing it saws you in, and it's kind of a joke in here, and we have all kind of, what do you call those? Not superstitions, about when you split a sticks and it splits evenly, no big deal. If it splits one way, somebody loves you. If it splits the other way, they don't love you. You know, like when you used to light a cigarette or whatever. So people have these weird things, but that's another thing it stops, is it stops the splintering that you can often get from a missplit. Because it just snaps them right in two.
Yeah, no, that's not consume my thought process when I'm eating Chinese, I have to say. But thank you, mate. And he's just sitting going, hang on, what's the bloody link, Doc? That's no use. What the hell's the link?
In the chat room.
He's put it in the chat room, you see. So all you got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then navigate to the 25th of February and you'll see all the links. And you'll see the conversation about a Prince Albert that they've been having about while we've been doing the cool things. Thanks, Muller, for starting that one off and putting pictures in.
I didn't put the picture.
Yeah, no. So, but there's loads of stuff, loads and loads of stuff in there. So britishtechnetwork.com/chats, dead easy to remember. Just got to put /chat, and then you've got to go to the right day. We always record on a Thursday at the moment. So go to the Thursday, look at the thing, and you'll find all the links. They're in there. There you go. It's dead easy, isn't it? Well done, Doc. Good pick, mate. Good pick. I hope your friend gets on well with it, because it's a good-looking thing, most definitely.
I just love simple but brilliant ideas.
Yeah, exactly. Simple, like, good ideas.
And you think to yourself, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, duh. My cool thing is the ShoulderPod S1. It's a smartphone photography stand. It fits with any phone you've got, so don't worry about it. It's got to be iPhone, which is what's in the picture. But the thing that's nice about this is it comes with several parts, and those several parts appear to have been really well thought out in terms of how you're going to end up using them. And there's loads of stuff out there. You can get the Glyph and that kind of stuff, Glyph was okay, but I always looked at that and thought, damn, that's pricey. And there's a few others as well that I wanted as you know, like a battery grip cum trigger, and I always thought, well, they're a bit pricey. So the long and the short of it is, here you go, here's the thing here, and it's just basically a clamp, and it's got a screw at the top that you screw it
down.
You
have an incoming call from Adam Christensen.
There we go. I can edit, don't worry. Adam's porn's finished downloading. So you've got a little screw at the top here that you just adjust it with to come in, and it's not like a quick and easy thing. This is a very, very solid kind of grip on your phone. So here we go. Here's Muller's iPhone, and I'm going to shove it in to the grip and then just tighten it down. And you can see here straight away, as I tighten it down, that's going nowhere. That's not coming out. Yep. And then you get this little bit here. So now this bit's got a 3/8 connector on the bottom. So you can stick that on the top of a tripod, which is, you know, perhaps what you want if you wanted to shoot like some proper film or that kind of thing. Or you can put it on some kind of glide rig or something like that. Or you get a little strap here that you can use as well if you want to go out shooting. And you get a little button on the end that sticks on. And you're kind of like, well, okay, I like the idea of the button, but it's pretty heavy and I'm not entirely sure what it does. Well, actually, what you do is you screw it on. Here we go. And then what that gives you is the ability to hold it like a little battery grip. There you go. So then you've got your thumb free to push the shutter release, if you want. Or you can use two hands and use the shutter release like you would normally. but it gives you that battery grip kind of feel to it. It's $24.95 on Amazon. And thanks to the chap, I can't remember his name, I can't find the email either, but there's one of the guys asked me for some, I want to say Glenn, but I don't think it's Glenn, but he asked me for some advice and what I thought about it, and I said, that looks great, because I've just bought it. And it's brilliant, it really is good, and I love the fact that you've got this screw that just turns it down tight, and it just isn't going anywhere, there's no way that phone's coming out. Absolutely superb, great job, and at £25, knocks the rest to hell. Where can we get a hold of you, Techie Tez?
I'm at Terry_CY on Twitter, and I am also the Frontender is my new website, which is under construction and seems to forever be. But yes, that's me, the Frontender.
The Frontender. Have you bought the Backender as well, or is that a different kind of site?
I think the back ender is probably a different kind of site. See, I'm a front ender. It's my day job. And the other guys, they're back enders. They can't do what I do with websites anyway.
Fair enough. No worries. That's good. Moving on, then. Adam, where the hell are you?
When I can keep my connection running, you can find me at Maccast.com and Maccast on Twitter. Also, I do the iOS show with Michael Johnston and Jeff Gamet at theiosshow.com.
And Doc, you've done the kind of classic speaker salesman thing and said, I own one of these myself.
No, I put this on the show like a few months back. I'm going to call it like, when I got it last February or March, if you look in the archives, you will find that I had picked that.
I will go and look.
I'll find a link to it. I know I did it, but anyway, it's very awesome. I love it. I carry it around with me all the time.
Yep.
It's amazing. You can find me on the BTN network normally a couple times a week, or until I get unbusy just on the Mac show. But after that, I'll be back to the big, because I don't want Ted's taking my slot, dirt.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's what's happening, man. You're being usurped.
His beard is not as cool as mine.
You need to double up and do a back to back one night, mate, and push the front enders. That might be a show title. You may have stolen the show title there, Terry. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the British Tech Network at britishtechnetwork.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at British Tech. We have had a couple of reviews actually come in for the shows, and I want to read one out for the Kyle. Batwinch has put one in. At some point in the day, everyone has 5 minutes to listen to this podcast, maybe as part of your morning routine. The tech news of the day is given in a very upbeat delivery and humour. Kyle obviously knows his stuff, and it's very evident on the show. Why listen to a dry, boring news show when Carl is ready to perk you up like a verbal hit of caffeine? And that's the news show, the shirt I'm wearing tonight. Go and check it out. You'll enjoy it. It's on iTunes. And it's on the BTN website. And the Mac show's had a couple of ones as well. Matt Sweddy said, out of all the podcasts I subscribe to, and I subscribe to a lot, this and the big show are the ones that I most look forward to. It's like Top Gear for techs. And Colin has put the best review, I think, of the year. This is amusing and informative, and I don't even own a Mac. Thanks, man.
I praise indeed.
We're back in 30 minutes for the big show, and we're back again next Thursday as planned, and I'm going to try and post this before the weekend again. I was on a roll last week, sorry. And if you've got any comments or things that you want read out about the Apple versus FBI thing, send us an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, and we'll read them out and see where what the state of play is next week. Who knows what's going to happen. Thanks for listening.